All right, so we'll start on Mem Tet Amud Bet, after the Mishnah, slightly after the Mishnah, line against Tanan. Our Mishnah writes, Ona Dalad Kesef, Miasrim Barba Kesef Pesela. Our Mishnah writes that a Ona, or the amount of Ona, is 4 out of 24, it's Shtut Lemet Mekach, right? It's 6th of a Mekach. My love, the Zavin Shavi Asrin Besrim Barba. What's the case in the Mishnah? It's the case in the Mishnah, you take something that's worth 20, and then he sells it for 24. If you say it that way, then the shtut that is mentioned in the Mishnah is 1/6 of the actual value that was transacted at, not the value of the merchandise that was sold. The value of the merchandise that was sold is 20, and then the money that's being paid is 24. So if 24 is what's being paid, this is like Shmuel, who says that the 6th is not only gauged by the value of the merchandise, but also by the money that is exchanged. So I says, "Lo, the zaven shaven esrim ba'arba be'esrim." Now, in order to prevent that not being, or to make sure that's not a problem for Rav, they say, "No, if the merchandise is worth 24, and he only paid 20 for it, so if the merchandise is worth 24, 6th of 24 is the ona. The ona is being referenced to the mekach, to the merchandise, but the ma'ot is esrim, which is not relevant to the sixth, relevant to the sixth here." Where it says, Minitane, who got cheated here? Right? If he's paying less than the value of the merchandise, who's being cheated? It's the mocher. The seller is being cheated. So mocher, ema seifa. Then what are you going to do the next line in the Mishnah? Ad matay mutar lachzir. How much time do you have to return the item? B'chdei shir'eh l'tagar l'kuvo. The amount of time it takes you to show it to an expert or to a relative who you can verify, right, the value of what you just purchased. So after that point in time, you have the right to go back. V'amar of Nachman. Nachman already qualified about reversals in Ona, that lo shana lo lokeach. That limitation about showing the merchandise to someone else in order to verify the value, that's limited to the lokeach, to the buyer. Aval mocher, de olam chozer. The seller can always go back on the transaction. Why is that? Because the seller does not have the object in his hands to show anybody anymore. He no longer has the merchandise, for it's much harder for him to verify the value of what he sold because he doesn't have it. The lokeach has it in his hand. He can go show people. He can ask questions about it. Therefore, the lokeach has a right up to the limited kind, whereas the mocher has forever to go back. If that's the case, then our Mishnah, when the Mishnah quantified or said that you can only return it up to the amount of time of tagar, or to show it to a tagar or kovo, it's clearly talking about a lokeach, which means that in the Mishnah, who got cheated or who got overcharged was the lokeach. But we're describing the case as being undercharged in the Mishnah. So what's the Mishnah is talking about a case where the merchandise is worth 24 and he sold it for 28. And that's the solution. Now again, the mekach or the shtut is being determined by the mekach itself, by the merchandise, because that's 24. The overpaying is being done by the lokeach because he's paying 28 for something that's worth 24. And therefore, now we have an understanding of our Mishnah that's not necessarily a proof to Shmuel, because the merchandise is determined by it. It's not a proof against Shmuel, because Shmuel can also read the Mishnah as being Mekach, because he has both. Shmuel includes Rav's position plus Ma'ot. So therefore, that's how the Gemara sets it up. Tosis points out here that about when the Gemara is concluding about Shmuel, Shtut Ma'ot, whatever the Gemara is thinking here, what does the Gemara do with the Mishnah, which says explicitly Shtut the Mekach? Right, the Mishnah itself, when it says Shtut, says Shtut the Mekach. It says that you could try to explain it that it's a ona shtut shinye b'mekach. The shtut, once you take it away, will be the mekach. But he says tema. He says if the Mishnah really wants to say shtut the ma'ot, just don't use the word mekach. Just leave out that line in the Mishnah. That's that Tosos leaves it. He says he doesn't understand. Secondly, Tosos says, and this is the next Tosos, is that he doesn't understand the Gemara's question here. Next Gemara is going to ask a question, and it's identical to the question that we just asked above. And the Gemara is basically going to go through the same cycle we just did. And he says, I don't know what they added from the first question to the second question. He says, it looks like the identical question to him. It's not. Second half of the Mishnah. Hore Rabbi Tarfon Pelod, Auna, Shmona Kesef, Mesrim, Barba Kesef, Lusela, Shlish, the Mekach. And Rabbi Tarfon said that Shtut is not really Shtut, right? It's a third. Right? It's two times the amount. That is the quantity that is classified as Auna. It's a third instead of a sixth. 8 out of 24. My love, what's the case there? The Zavin Shavi Shitzarei Be'esrim V'arba, that he sold something worth 16 for 24. So again, the merchandise is only worth 16. And the payment that's being made, the overcharging, is done at 24. So Shema Mino, Shlish Lema'ot. It's a Shanino. So over here we're talking about Shlish Lema'ot, which again would be like Shmua. Because the termination of the Shlish over here, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is based on the payment that was made, which is the 24. Though, the Zavin Shavin Esrim Barbu Shitzak. So something that was worth 24 for 16. Right, so now again, the merchandise now is worth 24. If it's worth 24, the third is based on the merchandise. Who's getting cheated out here? It's the mocher, because he's paying, getting paid too little. He's getting paid 16. It says, me netanet, mocher. Mocher is the one who got cheated. Eima seifo. What are you going to do with the next piece of Rabbi Tarfon? Amalem kol hayom mutar lachzor. Said, all day you are mutar to return the object. Again, v'arba nachman lo shana lo keach. The limitations on the ability to return are limited to the buyer, because the buyer has the merchandise. But mocher lolam chozer, mocher can always return it. Ella, must be the case is the zavin shavin chavdalid bitlatim v'taratin, in that he sold a taratim train. He sold a something worth merchandise that's worth 24, right, for 32, and that's how he gets crazier. The lokeach is nit aneh, because the merchandise is worth 24. He's paying 32, which is one third above that amount. Right, on the other hand, right, we have it's focused on the lokeach, which helps us because we're talking about chazara, and limitations of chazara are unique to the lokeach and nothing to the mocher. So again, the Gemara, all it did was in the second half of the Mishnah, did what it did in the first half of the Mishnah, which is repeat the same question. Maybe it's a proof to Shmuel. No, it's not a proof to Shmuel. Right, they go through the same three possibilities. One possibility is it shlish the ma'ot on the lokeach, where it switches it to the shlish the mekach, but on the mocher. Mocher doesn't work because there are limitations, and that's all about the lokeach. Where it comes back again to say, no, it's shlish the mekach on the lokeach, but we're talking about the mekach is worth 24 in both cases. The question is, how much overpayment did he make? According to the Tanakhama, he paid 28. According to Rabbi Tarfon, he paid 32, which is the onna of the overpayment. And now, the Gemara says, Tanya kavati tishmua. A braisa that is supports Shmuel's position. Why? Because the braisa states, Mishu talalav yado al eliyona. Whoever has been cheated has the upper hand. Ketzad, what's the case? Machar lo shaveh hei bivav. He has matach that's worth 5 that he's selling for 6. Minitane, who's cheated here? Lokeach. Yada lokeach al eliyona. Then the lokeach is the upper hand now because he was cheated. Ratza, he gets a choice now. Omer tainli ma'otai. He can say to him, reverse the transaction, cancel the transaction, it's null and void, give me my money back. Oh, tainli ma shoni tani. And, or he can say, keep the transaction, but return me the overpayment. So lokeach has that option. Now, it's clear here, how much is the mekach worth here? Mekach is worth chamisha, it's worth 5, right? And he's overpaying by, he's paying 6. So now, when we're talking about onna here, we're talking about a sixth. That sixth is based off of what? It's based off of the vav of the money that he's paying. Right? Hey is right. Hey, it's way over. It would be above. Right?
If
hey,
you look at the object.
If you look at the object, it's way above a six, right?
That's what I'm saying.
But if it's based on the mekach, right? If it's based on the ma'ot, then it's exactly a shtut, which is like Shmuel, who says the ono is a shtut based on the mekach or the ma'ot. Now, machalo shava sheish v'chamesh. What about the other way? If he sells something that's worth 6 at 5, right? Minit ane. Who has onna here? Mocher. Right? Why? Because he got cheated. It was worth 6. He only got paid 5. Yad mocher al yona. Again, here the mocher has the upper hand. Ratza omer lo tenli mechchi. He has a choice. He can say either give me my merchandise back, right? He can converse the transaction. Oh, tenli ma shoni tani. Right, or he can say, give me back the underpayment, meaning pay me, make me whole on the underpayment, and we'll keep the transaction whole. So now, in the case of Shavashesh B'chamesh, right, so the case here, which is our case here, where he was worth 6, and he paid 5, that's Shtut the Mekach. There the Ona has been premised off the Mekach, off the merchandise, because the merchandise is worth 6. In the first case, which is Shavah Chamesh, B'sheish, right, the Shtut is being played off the Ma'ot, off the money, because that's what's 6 in that case, that's the Shtut there. So you see that the Brisa entertains a Shtut from both sides. It entertains a Shtut Onah from Ma'ot, and it entertains a Shtut from Mekach. So that sounds exactly like Shmuel. Shmuel says that the Shtut, right, it's always classified as a Shtut, whether you look at it on the side of the Ma'ot, or whether you look at it on the side of the Mekach. If you can come to a 6th either way, then that's classified as the Shtut of Onah. And that's the position of Shmuel. Now, what's important here in this Braisa, because the Gemara is going to, premise on this Braisa, the Gemara is going to ask questions now, not about the Braisa, but about our Mishnah. But the Braisa's assumption right now is this idea of Yado al Yuna, that the person who got cheated has the upper hand and therefore can make decisions about the transaction. That is not, if we just talk about Ona in general, that's not the way we look at Ona. We have like fixed categories within Ona. That comes from the conclusion of the Gemara today, which is a statement by Rava. That's what I just want to show you. In the conclusion of the Gemara today, there's a Braisa that supports the position of Rava, but Rava makes a statement. It's down on Nun Amud Bet, across from the Tosus, Amar Rava Hilchasa. If you look across from that in the Gemara, it says, Amar Rava Hilchasa. This is the halacha when it comes to Ona. Pachot Mishtut Nikna Mekach. When it comes to less than a shtut, it's done. It's a done deal. Less than a shtut goes through, there's mechila, nobody can ask for any money back, that's done deal. We discussed before, machlokes harishonim, we saw the Rosh and the Ramban, that when it's less than a shtut, right, even though there's mechila legabe, the money, that you don't have to get the money back, whether there still exists an isur of ona. That is a question, right, that still applies. The Rosh entertains the possibility that there may be no isur whatsoever under a sixth. The Ramban says for sure, even under a sixth, that's called ona. In that you are a violation of Ona, you just don't have to return the money. Now, Yoter Ashtut, when it comes to more than a Shtut, Batel Mekach. More than a sixth, there's no choice again, null and void. The transaction is not void, you reverse the transaction. Again, no choices over here. Shtut, when it comes to exactly a Shtut, Kana. Right? The transaction goes through, Umach Zir El Na'a. And you have to return the Ona. So this is what we think of classically as the Din of Ona, the sixth, above a sixth. Is Batel, below a sixth stands. A sixth, when I'm reading like Rashi. Rashi believes over here, Shtut Kana Bal Korcho. The transaction stands against the will of anybody. I mean, that's, it doesn't matter. If you do a, if it's a Shtut, the transaction stays. Then you can claim your own Na'a back. But that's it. But you can't null and you can't reverse the transaction over here. Bezev Zeh, B'kdei Sh'ireh L'Tagar L'Korcho. Both of these cases, all these cases are cases where he has the opportunity to show it to a tagar. So b'zeh b'zeh is what? B'zeh b'zeh has got to be the case of ona and bitul mekach. It's got to be the case of a sixth and above a sixth. Below a sixth doesn't matter. You can show it to anybody. There's no reversal of the transaction. It doesn't matter. The only two cases where it matters about showing it to a tagar is a case where it's exactly a sixth and a case where it's above a sixth. Because above a sixth is revert the transaction to null and void. And at a sixth, he can get his ona back. He can get the overpayment back. Now, Tanya Kabesi de Rovo.
Well, that sounds like it doesn't matter whether he shows them or not. The Mekach is the invalid Mekach no matter what.
Right.
But he doesn't know that he,
No, we assume that if he shows it to a Tagar, and then he says, okay, I don't mind overpaying, that there's Mechila then back. Now, Tanya Kabesi de Rovo. I have a Braisa that supports this position, Rovo. Oh no. Pachot Mishtut Nikneh. Right? Less than a Shtut Nikneh. Mekach. Yeter Ashtut. Batel Mekach. Shtut, Kana, Umachzir Una'a, Divrei Rabbi Natan. Right, so if it's a Shtut exactly, then he's Kana, Umachzir Una'a, Divrei Rabbi Natan. So, Tanya Kavasi, the Rabbah is that Rabbi Natan holds like right Rabbah. Now, why is that important? Because, as Rashi points out, Rabbi Natan is a Daino, and he's Nochik Umkadadina, and we pass him like Rabbi Natan. The fact that Rabbi Natan in the Braisa supports the position of Rabbah. Right, that is why it's a proof. This Braisa is a proof to Rava, despite the fact that there's another Mandamer in this Braisa. You say, Tani Kavasi to Rava, usually bring a Braisa that supports his position. Meantime, they bring a Braisa that has Machlokus, exactly about what Rava says. So then why, this is what Rashi says, Rashi says, why is this support? Because the position in the Braisa that supports him is Rabbi Natan. So Rabbi Natan, so Rabbi Huda Nasiomer, Yad Mokher Al Yumna. Now, it works like this, like the Braisa we saw before. Yad Mokher Al Yumna, Rutze Omer Lo Tenli Mechi. Oh, Tenli Masha Anitani. Right now, the Yad Mocher Al Yuna is just an example. I mean, it's also Yad Mocher Al Yuna. The Braisa is just a review, and that's just saying, whoever got cheated, Yado Al Yuna. So, an example. When right, so he's just giving an example. So, if whoever gets cheated has the upper hand, so he has the ability to make a choice. Either Tenli Mechi, or Tenli Masha Anitani. Either reverse the transaction or give me the excess payment. That's his choice here. Vizev ze, b'gdei shir le tagar o le krovo. Right, so in both of them, in this case, right, it is zev ze, the ona, and the bitul mekach. meaning, again, these are cases for the mocher, where the mocher is cheated out. So he has the ability to, again, make the decision, right, whether he wants to be mevatel mekach, or does he want to, right, get his anah back, in the cases where there is reason to have the transaction reversed for the tzad of the mocher.
That's the statement.
It modifies both of them, but right, you want to modify Rabbi Natan, because then he's exactly like Rebbe, because that would help, right? And I assume that because it's after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that it also modifies Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, which would be a logical explanation. Now Tosfos takes issue with Rashi for a number of reasons. Now Kasha, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam asks a number of questions on Rashi. He says, first of all, Rava is then Chulik Astam Mishnah. Right? That's going to be the upcoming Mishnah. The upcoming Mishnah in the Gemara, Nun Aleph and Aleph says, right, Mishu Hutal Alav Yadol Yonah. Mishnah says explicitly, whoever's cheated gets the upper hand. So now Rava is going to give a Pesach Halacha against a Stam Mishnah, number one. Number two, whenever it comes to Rebbe, right?
And one thing he's talking about, what? The good kashis from less than a shtut?
No, in general. Maybe more than a shtut. Right? Whoever's cheated gets the Yad Olah Yonah. So, okay, after he overpays, right, then he's the Yad Olah Yonah. He should be able to choose whether he wants the transaction to stay good as or not back, or reverse the transaction. And same for the Mocher, in the other way, right? Oh, so Bryce Rabbi Natan, Rabbeinu Dan says, okay, listen, you have Rabbi Yudah Nasi.
I'm saying,
but
yeah. No, I'm saying, but we said that we generally follow the halacha.
Oh, so then Rabbeinu Tam says, well, we have a psak halacha. Halacha to Rebbe, michabe rav. Velo michabe rav. That we always paskin when Rebbe argues on one, on a single individual, the halacha is always like Rebbe. Whereas he argues on the rabbin, he doesn't, the halacha is not like him. So over here, the halacha should be like Rebbe, not like Rabbi Natan, because it's Rebbe versus chabe rav. Why do we pass like Rabbi Natan versus Rebbe? Also, right? Rava later on explains our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and not like Rabbi Natan. Right? So if Rava's going to explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and not like Rabbi Natan, it sounds like he thinks, right, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the right way, and that's why he's explaining the Mishnah that way. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam explains over here that when Rava says Shtut Kana, he says Shtut Kana is not like Rashi, which is in this case of a sixth, it's not Kana Bal Korcho. Rather, Kana is based on his own choice. Meaning the Kana is Yadol Yonah, and you get to choose. So Gekli Yishtos, you get to choose. Kana means you can be Konet, or you can decide that I want to reverse the transaction. That's my choice when it comes to a Shtut. Therefore, when the Gemara brings the Braisa is actually, Tanya Kavase is actually from Yehuda Nasi. And when it says Tanya Kavase, Mishom, Diktani Bebraisa, Zev Zev, Dedei Shirek Harava. Right, so the Braisa over here, right, that is explaining something is Zeb Zeb. Now the Zeb Zeb and the Braisa is like what Shaul just asked. According to Tosfos, the Zeb Zeb is both opinions in the Braisa. And therefore, the Gemara is not bringing the Braisa to prove anything about Rabba's position in Onah. It's bringing a position in the Braisa that is not subject to Machlokas, which is Zeb Zeb, G'day Shira. Zev Zev Kadei Shireh has made a statement of Rava, and the Braisa also makes the statement of Zev Zev Kadei Shireh. So that's what the Braisa is approved to, Rava's position, is in that issue of Zev Zev Kadei Shireh Kadei Rava. Aval, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the mighty, from Yehuda Nasi, is not bringing Dam Ratzon Merlo. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi sounds like Rava in the fact that he's giving the Yadol Yonah, right, that we're not bringing that as a proof. Because we also have Rabbi Natan in that Braisa. That Braisa is not a proof to Rava. That Braisa just brings two opinions down. One of them happens to be like Rava. So fine, Rava holds like one of the Tanaim. That's not a proof. The only proof is there. So now, Va'afagav, Tosus, the only problem with Tosus is Afagav, the Rava Nokat Lishna, the Milsa, the Rabbi Natan, ain't Perish Kana, the Hochal Kikana, the Rabbi Natan. Even though, right, Rabbi Yehuda, Rava and Rabbi Natan basically have the identical statements, but in the statement of Rabbi Natan, Kana means literally, like the way Rashi explained Kana. And according to the Tosfos, now the Kana and Rava is not.
You
have to choose in the words of Kana, which means that the definition of the word Kana is different for Rava than Rabbi Natan, even though they use identical Lashon. Is that right? The difficulty in the Tosfos is that Kana is not the same word in both places, whereas according to Rashi, the problem is how can you bring a Braisa as Tanya Kalase when you have a Machlokas in that Braisa? Now, what's important here, why I'm showing you this, is because that's the conclusion. Now we're going to go back to our Mishnah. And the Mishnah is basically going to investigate the different possibilities in our Mishnah, assuming, according to the Braisa that we saw before, which is Yadol Yonah, the idea that you have choices, not according to the Pesach Halacha that we know in Onah of Rava, that there are fixed definitions. What happens? More than a sixth, less than a sixth. A sixth We know exactly what happens. Machlokes between Rashi and Rashi and Tosfot is machlokes about Tana, only about that one issue in the middle, the Shtut case. But those otherwise agrees with Rashi. Follow the Shtut, but Tomeka, follow Shtut, Mechila. It's nothing to talk about. Our Gemara now is going to assume, like this Brace of Shmuel, that Yadu Al Yomna applies to every case here, and therefore there are always choices. You're always open to choices. And if you're always open to choices, you have to look back at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah deals with a number of topics, and there are a number of questions that are going to be raised about our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has a case of a merchandise being sold. A merchandise being sold is then overcharged for it. The lokeach has been cheated, and now he has time to reverse that transaction. It's time to reverse that transaction until he can show it to the tagar. Now, when we say kadesh yir'eh in our Mishnah, what part of the Mishnah does that refer to? You have three possibilities in the Mishnah. You have more than a shtut, less than a shtut, and a shtut. Right? So when the Mishnah says that he has kadesh yir'eh, until the amount of time is kadesh yir'eh,
it's not less than a shtut.
Right, so it doesn't sound like it's less than a shtut, right? But it could be a shtut or more than a shtut. So now you have possibilities either kadesh yir'eh applies to both, a shtut and more than a shtut. Or you can say, no, that kadesh yir'eh is only relevant to a shtut itself. Only to a sixth. But more than a shtut, which the Mishnah doesn't address, more than a shtut, which the Mishnah does not address, might be piolam and chozer. It could be forever. Right? So that's the lokeach. The buyer can go back forever, or maybe there's a limitation. So now the Mishnah, what the Gemara is going to do is investigate all these different, items. Now, beyond that, the Mishnah again only addresses shtut, exactly a sixth. What about less than a sixth? Less than a sixth in the Mishnah is not addressed. We say it's mechila. That mechila is la'alter, is right away. I mean, because it was less than a sixth, automatically there's mechila and there's nothing to talk about. Or, do we say mechila is only after he shows it to a tagar and krovo? Once he realizes that the money is less than a sixth, that is when he's mochel. We don't automatically assume there is mechila. We assume that if he goes and finds out that it's less than a sixth, then there is mechila. But he has to find out about it in order for there to be mechila. Again, there's two possibilities. Because the Mishnah only addresses the sixth case, and if that only addresses the sixth case, we don't know about above a sixth and below a sixth how it works exactly. Now, the Gemara is going to try to prove about what the tzad should be based on the interaction of our Mishnah, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, and then Rabbi Tarfon's case. And so that's the case. I'm going to read the Gemara like Rashi, because truthfully, the Gemara is hard enough without entering other Mishnahim. Tosfos questions Rashi in a number of places or in some small locations, but in the end, a lot of times he says Rashi's pshat's better. Right, so I'm going to go with Rashi's pshat over here. So now, Mara says at the top of Nun, Amaral, Ibaibahu. Right, so I have a question. Pachot mishtut Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, when you have less than the shtut, the altar having mechila, immediately there is mechila, there's an automatic mechila, there's nothing to talk about. Oh, b'chdei shirel tagar l'kovo. Or is it the amount of time that he can show it to a kovo? Mara says, okay. If he saved the amount of time that he can show it to a relative, then ma'ika ben shtut lepachot mishtut. There's no difference now between more than a shtut and exactly a shtut. Why? Because again, the Gemara believes here that it's yadol yuna. Yadol yuna. Then
he can choose.
He can choose. No, Gemara says ika. Right? It's above mishtut. Ika the ilu shtut. When it comes to shtut, yadol yuna. Comes to shtut, the buyer has the upper hand. Why? Ratzach chuzer, ratzach koneh, umachzir alma'a. In his case, he wants to eat. Ratzach chuzer, he can reverse the transaction, get his money back. Ratzach, he has the option, koneh umachzir alma'a. He has also the option that he can have the transaction stand and get his alma'a back. Whereas, v'ilu pachot mishtut kana'a, the transaction holds, umachzir alma'a. And he gives back the alma'a. So again, I showed you at the end of Psak of Rava that less than a shtut, right, is subject to mechila and there's nothing to talk about. That is not true at this point in the Gemara. When the Gemara looks at shtut and less than a shtut, the Gemara now is looking at less than a shtut being, right, that the transaction stands in machzir onah, that you give the onah back. What's better than less than a shtut than a shtut itself? Is the advantage is that he cannot reverse the transaction there. The transaction must stand. Right? So that's the advantage. The difference between shtut and less shtut, which is
the word
of death.
Or,
yadol yonah. So he has a choice. Okay. He can have it, he can reverse the transaction, or he can leave it. Right, exactly. So now, my, what is the lach? So now the Gemara says,
that's a good question. Don't we, let's say that the difference is a tenth, 10%.
Right.
I mean, so when he has the shtut, does he have to, so how much does he have to return it to?
the amount that he overcharged in terms of the
overcharge. But he can't make any profit.
Right, so that goes back to our discussion in the other Gemara, right, earlier, which is the question here, this overcharging, is this overcharging above and beyond a normal profit? Right, or is this overcharging, right, the actual stut is your profit? Right, that might have subject that machlokas, we spoke about this in the Gemara before, about the subject of machlokas between the Ramban and the Rosh, and how you view it. I mean, according to this part of the Gemara, it's harder. Actually, according to Rava, where Mechila, up to a six is a Mechila, it's much easier to understand that is maybe the profit according to the Rosh. According to the Ramban, it's clear that this is an excess of the profit, right? Because he talks about an Isur, anything above the value, then we have to say market value is including a profit in that. Right now, Tashma. So now, Gemara says that we have the second part of our Mishnah, which is about Rabbi Tarfon. Chazru the Divrei Chachamim. That they went back, they wanted the Tabrei Lud. Originally, Rabbi Tarfon passed him for them, they were all excited. And then he said something else, and they went, no, we're going back to the Chachamim. So, right, so what? So, Ruh, so what did they think? Originally, Pachot Mishlish the Rabbi Tarfon. Right, so you think what? That the Pachot Mishlish the Rabbi Tarfon is Kepachot Mishtut the Rabbanan. Alright, dummy. So that when we talk about equivalence in the Mishnah, Rabbi Tarfon, all he does is changes the quantity, right, or the demarcation of which wage is considered or not. The Chachamim say Achtut, Rabbi Tarfon says Achlish. So that's it. Kepach, so therefore, Pachot Mishlish, the Rabbi Tarfon, Kepach Mishtut, the Rabbanan, dummy. Okay, that's next. Iyamard, Bishlama Pachot Mishtut, the Rabbanan, Bichdei Shirel Tagar. So now, if you're making equivalence between less than a third for Rabbi Tarfon to less than a sixth of the Chachamim, then, what you just asked, what was the reason they wanted to reverse afterwards? Now, if you say, Pachot Mishtut the Rabban is Kadesh Yireh LeTagar, it's a matter of time that you can show it to our Tagar, meaning there is some sort of delay. There is some delay, and because of that delay, you have a choice, not a choice, but you can get your own Na back. Olu Kavo, then the Rabbi Tarfon, Kol Yom, right, so Rabbi Tarfon now made it worse for them, because Chachamim said that he can get his own Na back, only up to, right, to whatever time it takes. Whereas Rabbi Tarfon extended it the whole day. That's why they wanted to go back. That's why they want to go back, because they'd rather have the transaction lock. And as soon as they show it to someone, an amount of time, the transaction locks it. So they'd rather have the transaction lock than have a wider band, which allows them to overcharge it. They'd rather have it be up to a sixth and be the transaction locked, versus have it be up to a third and then have the whole day for them to reverse the transaction. Ella. Yeah, Mark, if you say Pachot Mishtut the Rabbanan on the altar, Rabbi Mechila, if you say according to the Chachamim, that right away there's Mechila, Ule Rabbi Tarfon, Nami, the altar, Rabbi Mechila, according to Rabbi Tarfon, also immediately is Mechila, Pachot Mishlish and Pachot Mishtut are the same, that means that they would be much better off, Amai Chazru, right? Why would they want to go back? They're much better off, right? Right, then they are much better off than Rabbi Tarfon now. Right, the Kamai, the Rabbana, the Kamishabal, who will know, the Rabbi Tarfon have a Mechila. What the Rabbana considered Ona means up to a sixth, then Rabbi Tarfon says already up to a third. So that means the additional sixth above the Rabbanan, they think is Mechila right away. And there is no reversal of the transaction. I mean that only if you say it's Kadesh Yireh LeTagar, do you have an opportunity of reversing the transaction. If you say Mechila right away, then there's nothing to talk about in terms of reversal of the transaction. Right, so now, until this point in the Gemara, right, the Gemara had two choices here. The Gemara had two choices here in the Gemara has two choices. Choice is Mechila right away or Kadesh Yireh LeTagar. The Gemara in the first instance says, wait a minute, if you say Kadesh Yireh LeTagar, he has the ability to reverse the transaction, then it looks exactly like a shtut. Gemara says, no. We'll have different types of reversals. You have a reversal that's under a shtut, which is the only reversal you're allowed is to get your own nut back. You can't back out of the transaction. But you have the reversal of a shtut, which will be, but either way, then you get a choice. Then the Gemara goes, okay, what's the halacha? Is it mechila right away? Is it shtut? And it's Kadesh Yireh LeTagar. Gemara says, if you think it's mechila right away, then you have a problem with what had transpired in the Mishnah of Rabbi Tarfon. Because if you say mechila right away, that means that it's much better for the Tagrim to have Rabbi Tarfon's Pesach. Because the extension of to Kol Hayom is not relevant to below a shtut. It's only relevant to a shtut. And if it's not relevant to below a shtut, they're still much better off having it be, what, a mechila. So up to a third, they wouldn't have to worry about it. They could just sell it and never have anything. The problem, add a shtut, you get extra time, so they'll avoid getting to exactly a third according to Rabbi Tarfon. But they'll just stay below a third and they'll be perfect and they'll be much better off than they were chachamim. So from that, the Gemara wants to prove.
Although you can get the money back.
Not if you think it's mechila right away, you can't get your money back. Right? That's the other tzad. The Gemara here is saying that if it's Kadeshir El Tagar, you can get your money back. But if it's Mechila right away, there's no getting your money back. If it's Mechila right away, there's nothing to talk about. They are much better off with Rabbi Tarfa, no matter what he says. Right? Afterwards. Kol Yom, because Kol Yom is not about less than a third. Kol Yom is only about a third. If that's the case, they should have stayed with their position. So what does that prove? It proves that it must be the Chamin Balev Kadeshir El Tagar. Below a Shtut, is still Kadesh Yer L'Tagar, and that would be like what you just said, which is that they have the opportunity to reverse the Onah. Okay, if that's the case, and the Gemara says, alright, so let's assume that. Kamishav L'Onah, the Rabbi Tarfon, Abiyah Mechila. Gemara says, but that all assumes, that's premised on what you just said now. Misvarat, Pachot Mishlish the Rabbi Tarfon, Pachot Mishtut the Rabbanan. Who says that the Shlish of Rabbi Tarfon is exactly like the Shtut of the Rabbanan? Even though that's what it sounds like from our mission, but I mean, that is definitely the case. Lo, what you can say is like this. Mishtut at Shlish the Rabbi Tarfon, Pishtut atzma the Rabbanan tami.
Right.
Oh, so that's, what do you have now? You have a case here, which is under, from a Shtut and under, but everybody agrees. That's Rabbi Tarfon and Chamim agree. Under a Shtut has the same din. What is that? Mechila. Totally Mechila. So now, what is the difference? What is Rabbi Tarfon adding over here? Rabbi Tarfon said,
right,
a shtut and a shlish, from a shtut until a shlish, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is different. According to Chachamim, you have shtut, the sixth, and then above the sixth, you have, it's bet
America.
Now, over here, he gets from a shtut to a shlish, will look like a shtut of the Chachamim. What's the shtut of Chachamim? It's, oh no, then you get to, right, you get to choose. If that's the case, now you have no proof anymore. Because then it does make a difference here. What happened? Rabbi Tarfon comes along and says, from a shtut until a shlish is just like a shtut of the chachamim. So the Tagrim get excited, okay? By shtut, at least the mekach, at least the scale will stand. Okay, I have to reverse the overcharging that I did, but at least the merchandise is sold, I don't get it back. Right, that's a better, for them, at least that's a better position, right, than having it be
but
that.
The sale that they say that they went back to chachamim.
Right, so, better than that, to them, it's still better than having the Bet HaMekach and have to reverse the transaction. Right, if they have to reverse the transaction, that's, they're in a worse position. Now, why do they want to go back? Okay, because, Beis Shtut for the Chachamim, that Shtut of the Chachamim, you have Kadeshi, your the Tagar. Right, now, if you have Kadeshi, your the Tagar, that means if they charge a Shtut, then within a couple hours, 2 hours, whatever it is, the transaction's done, and there's Mechila, and you can't reverse it anymore. Whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, now for this whole, even though he gave them a wider band in which this applies, from a shtut until a shlish,
they have the whole day
to reverse the transaction. They don't want that. They'd rather have the transaction be sealed, right, and not reversible. So that's important to them. Not having the transaction be reversible is very important. So again, the habamina of the tagliglut, or the way it worked for the tagliglut up front, was that mishtut at the shlish, from a sixth until a shlish, looks like a shtut al chachamim. Looks like a shtut chachamim, then it's only kadesh yirei l'tagar. Fine, there's a risk. For that amount of time, there's a risk that they can reverse it. But once they pass that amount of time, it's locked in. So they'll be happy. Now they can lock in from a shtut, they'll take a risk between a shtut and a shlish. Maybe they'll overcharge that amount. And if the individual passes that, lets the time go by, then it's mechila, and the transaction's done. Problem is now that Rabbi Tarfon opened up the window in which you can reverse it. So now they're in bigger trouble. They'd rather have it like a chachamim, which has a smaller window, and have the transaction be sealed, then have it be the Rabbi Tarfon who has a wider window in which they don't have, that there could be Mechila, but it's over a much bigger time until Kol Yom. So that would be the explanation of the Mishnah now, which does not force us to conclude what the position of the Chachamim is, be Pachot Mishtut. Because it could be that the Chachamim believe Pachot Mishtut is also Mechila Legamre, but Alter, right away it's Mechila. Right, on the other hand, where the machokes between Rabbi Tarfon and Chachamim is about between shtut and a shlish, but shtut and shlish, according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's not exactly like the pachol mishtut of Chachamim, but rather like the onah of the Chachamim. So let's just read that inside. Again, so now, where it says, misvarat, pachol mishlish to Rabbi Tarfon, pachol mishtut to Rabbanan, who says, unless in a shlish, is like pachol mishtut to Rabbanan, dummy. Lo. Mishtut at shlish to Rabbi Tarfon, kishtut atzma to Rabbanan dami. Right, that from a sixth to a third for Rabbi Tarfon is exactly like the ona, the sixth of the chachamim. Now, Gemara says, irochi, b'may samchu, the fact that they were happy when Rabbi Tarfon passed with them, mikara, in the beginning, tifsha, let us conclude, the bito mechel Rabbanan lalom chuzer. According to the chachamim, that you can reverse it forever. Why? The kaven damar lehu, Rabbi Tarfon, havi ona. When Rabbi Tarfon passed them, then it was Onah, Samchu. Why did they were Sameach? Because they thought Rabbi Tarfon, when he called it Onah, he meant Ad Kadesh Yir Ad Tagar. So now Rabbi Tarfon did two things for them. He expanded from a six to a six to a third, the same as a six. And number two is that Chachamim who said the lamp was there, he brought it down to, right, Kadei Shira the Tagar. Then, Ki Amalu Kol Yom Chazru. Then they went back, when he said Kol Yom, then they went back on it. Now, there's a lot of assumptions here, and Rashi's saying things. This is where Tosfos comes and questions Rashi's Pshat. We're going to go with Rashi, but I'm telling you, you can see the weakness in Rashi's Pshat right now. Tosfos tries to change it, and then it says maybe Rashi's right, because it's hard to explain my way anyway. But, now, Kol Yom Chazru, what does Rashi say now? Why do they not care then? When Rabbi Tarfon then says, goes to Kol Yom, they're still better off. Why are they still better off? They're better off for two reasons. One is, it's Kol Yom versus Bildam. And number two, they're better off because, right, it's versus a six for Chamim, it's expansive between six and a third. So Rashi over here says both of those don't matter to them. Why? Because the difference between Kol Yom and the Olam, he says, is minuscule. It's really not meaningful. Because Kol Yom for them is like forever. Because if you can wear it all day, by that time, if a person hasn't done it all day, then they're not going to do it again. That's the time that a person's going to reverse it. Right. So six and a third. This is what Rashi says. Oh, dear. Be old, una, yet la shtut lo shchicha. People overcharging more than a sixth is not so common.
What's the case? So what did they care
about? Oh, because then they said, if in Kadesh Yir'eh, that was the real benefit to them.
Okay.
Right. So that's, Misamchu originally, according to this way that Rashi's learning over here, the reason that they got all excited up front was really not about, he expanded the amount, but the real thing that he gave them was Kadesh Yir'eh. Right, because that's what they thought. Then when he said Kol Yom, then they said, "All right, we're Chazul Chachamim." Not that necessarily that they went back to Chachamim, but they said, "You really didn't give us that much advantage here." Advantage? Oh, a sixth to a third. Nobody charges that much over. People don't overcharge for that much. Number two, Kol Yom versus Leolam. That's not so exciting. And obviously, you can see the weakness in Rashi's Pshat, because Rashi here has to make two assumptions about the fact that Kol Yom versus Leolam is not significant, and number two, that above shtut to a shlish, expanding the amount that they could overcharge, is not meaningful either because nobody charges above shtut. Right, so that's Rashi's assumption. Now, the Isak Kadat, well, if you think the Bitul Mechel Harbanim, Kadesh Yireh, the Tagar Lekovo, if you think originally the Chamin believed Kadesh Yireh, the Tagar Lekovo, but my Samchu, then what were they getting excited about up front? Right, why are they getting excited up front? What do you mean, what are they getting excited about up front? According to the Chachamim, it's only a shtut, and according to Rabbi Tarfon, right, it's a shtut ad a shlish. But now, the Gemara is saying, and this is what Rashi's, the premise of the Gemara right now, is mishtut ad a shlish is not common. And therefore, that's not really an advantage to them. What is their advantage? The Gemara at this point is saying the only advantage is not coming from the bigger window in which you can charge, but only from more time. Less time and more time. The whole advantage is to have less time to reverse your transaction. Now look, the Chachamim already gave them Kadesh Yireh LeTagar. Rabbi Tarfon comes along and expands the window, but he says the same thing, Kadesh Yireh LeTagar. They say, you didn't give us any advantage. So then, why were they excited when Rabbi Tarfon passed them in the beginning? The Gemara says, Samchu b'shtut atzma. They were excited about a shtut atzma. Why? Rabbi Tarfon mechilo rabbanan ona. Because, where does the Rabbi Tarfon believes like this, the Chachamim believe, once you get to a shtut is ona. Below a shtut has the din of mechila, shtut is ona. According to Rabbi Tarfon, it works like this, that ad a shtut is part of mechila, and from above a shtut to a shlish, looks like the rabbanan ona. Right, so now, from again, above a shtut to a shlish, at this point the Gemara is not meaningful because nobody charges that much. Now, the only thing that is meaningful is more time, or less time. Right, so over here, if you say mechila, right, the Gemara assumes at this point that mechila, either from two perspectives, either mechila happens at the altar, right, that's where the Gemara is now right now, but even if you say that it's Kadesh Yireh LeTagar, you're still an advantage because you're only allowed to get your own na back, not to reverse the transaction in less than a shtut. So then, Rabbi Tarfon makes a shtut look like less than a shtut. Come in, say shtut is ona, and is above a shtut. So for that reason, right, they liked Rabbi Tarfon up front, because he made a shtut for them better. So they could charge up to a shtut, which is common, forgetting up to a shlish, but up to a shtut they could do it, and that would be mechila, like the Chachamim's mechila. But a shtut, they said, doesn't matter to us, because nobody charges that much. But a shtut, at least now he gave them a little more, they could go to a shtut instead of less than a shtut. Now this, clearly, this answers dochak, to say that the whole pivot is about a shtut. Right, so the Tosfos mentioned, Tarashi mentioned this, and he says now that the Gemara, when he asks the next question, is ignoring this. Like this whole last piece of the Gemara that said that shtut to a shlish is meaningless.
Well, yeah.
But the Gemara is just trying to show you that you can't prove anything from either way. So now the Gemara asks, Yibailu. Gemara asks now, Yibailu, bitul mekach or rabbanan. For the rabbanan, we say bitul mekach, right, when it's ke'una, right? Is it the olam chuzer or the mekdesh or the tagar the kovo? Right, it's only, right, is it the olam that he can go forever, he's able to reverse the transaction, or it's only a matter of time that he can show it to a tagar ukrovo. So Mara says, now, if you want to say over here, Tim Salomar, if they shirel a tagar ukrovo, if you say that above a shtut is the amount of time that he can show it to a tagar ukrovo, my ikra bet shtut, a letter of shtut. What's the difference between of now a sixth and above a sixth, according to Chachamim? What can you do? In a sixth, you can reverse the transaction. Above a sixth, you can reverse the transaction. The amount of time that you have to reverse the transaction is today, right, to share at the time or the provost. So there's no difference then. It says, no, ika. Dilushtut, mishinit ane, chuzir. Right, when it comes to a shtut itself, whoever was cheated, yadol yona. Yadol yona, because he gets to choose what the reversal is. V'yetra shtut, shneem chuzrim. But above a shtut, both parties get it. No matter who got cheated, both parties have the right to reverse the transaction. So there is a difference. Right? Kadesh Yer the Tagar will not be the difference between them, because both of them have the same time limitation, and beyond that it will be Mechila. The difference between them is who has the right to make the decision about the reversal of the transaction. Right? Below, at a shtut, the only one who is able to make the decision is the one who was cheated, the one who was overcharged or undercharged over here. Whereas, when it comes to above a shtut, both parties have the right to reverse the transaction. So Mara says, my, what is the din over here? Tashma. So let's go back to Rabbi Tarfon again to look if we can understand from Rabbi Tarfon. Chazru the divrei chachamim. They went back to the divrei chachamim. Iyamart bishlomo bitul mekach l'rabbanan b'kadei shireh l'tagar o l'krovo. Now, they wanted to go back to the position of the chachamim. They want to go back to the position of the Chachamim. There must be some advantage in going back to the position of the Chachamim. Now it can't be, right, that the value is the difference. Now again, the Gemara at this point, Rashi says here, the Gemara rejects what we just concluded in the previous Gemara, that the only difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon is about the shtut itself. Now the Gemara is going back to the understanding that Rabbi Tarfon expanded the limitations of Onah. Chachamim say it's only a shtut, and Rabbi Tarfon bleeds from a shtut until a shtesh is all classified as Onah. So at this point, right, the advantage to the Tagrim, when they first, Tagrim Lud, when they heard what Rabbi Tarfon says, was that he expanded the window, which was considered Onah, and not above Onah. Right, now, the Rabbi Tarfon, then, when Rabbi Tarfon told them all day, Rabbi Tarfon, kol yom, mishim hachi chazru. Right, because then Rabbi Tarfon went afterwards and he told them the amount of time that you have for reversals all day, and they said, let's go back to the Chachamim. Why go back to the Chachamim? Because fine, the Chachamim limited the amount we can overcharge, but at least they said that the deal is sealed. There's mechila after a short period of time. You are saying all day. So the advantage that you gave us by allowing us to charge between a shtut and a shlish, that overcharge that you gave us, that advantage, fine, you gave us that advantage. That advantage is only worthwhile if it's limited in the amount of time you can reverse it. But if you give us that advantage, expanded overcharging, but then you say to us, they have much longer to reverse the position, that we don't want. We'd rather have a smaller window in which we can overcharge, up to a shtut, right? That shtut we can overcharge, and we're tagar lud, we can be exact on the shtut, and we'll overcharge that amount. Because then after 3 hours or 2 hours, whatever amount of time is to show it, the deal is sealed, you can't go back on it. Versus you, Rabbi Tarfon, you said to a shtut and shlish, we can overcharge up to a shlish, very good. But if they can reverse the transaction all day, that means a much longer time before the transaction seals. If much longer for the transaction seals, we're at much more risk, and we don't want that expanded risk. But if you say bitul mekach rabbanan the olam chuzer, right? If you say the bitul mekach according to rabbanan is forever, then why do they want to go back to the chachamim? There's a disadvantage. Am I chazru? Right? Rabbi Tarfon echlochu tvei. They much rather have Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Because he kamashav leona kol yom. Right? Number one is he says it's only kol yom, but two. Low, but too low, right? And no more. I mean, that Rabbi Tarfon really gave them two advantages. If you say that the Chachamim believe that Bitul Mekach above a sixth, Bitul Mekach is the Olam Yeh B'Chozer, then they're better off with Rabbi Tarfon no matter what. They're better off with Rabbi Tarfon number one, because Rabbi Tarfon expanded the window that is classified as Onah. That is not considered Bitul Mekach above a sixth. He says from a sixth to a third, it's still not considered overcharging. That's considered regular Onah. Number two, he gave them the advantage, which is the Chachamim say you can reverse the transaction forever. And Rabbi Tarfon said limited it, that they can only reverse the transaction up to a kol yom. So why would they ever want to go back to the Chachamim? No matter what Rabbi Tarfon says, they're still better off than the Chachamim, even though he doesn't say Kedir Shireh L'Tagar. Nevertheless, he tells limited to yom versus forever. So why do they want to reverse it? It doesn't make any sense. So it must be that the Chachamim believe that the Bitul Mekach after a sixth, above a sixth, that mito bechach is premised on kedei shiyira l'tagar. Because then there is two tzadim here. There's the tzad of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon gives the advantage by expanding the window that is classified as a shtut and not above a shtut. But on the other hand, the chachamim give them the advantage, which is kedei shiyira l'tagar, that above a shtut is limited. Above a shtut is limited to kedei shiyira l'tagar. But Rabbi Tarfon now gave them a disadvantage there, which says koleyo. So now you have two tzadim. Right, one, the advantage of Rabbi Tarfon, which is the expanded window that's classified as Onah, but the advantage of Chachamim, which is that above a sixth, according to the Chachamim, you only have to wait 2-3 hours for the Shira the Tagar, and then seal the deal, whereas it's Mechila. Whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, you have all day. They'd rather have death, so then that's why we understand they were Chazru. So Mar says, let's conclude that the Chachamim believe above a Shtut is only Kadesh Shira the Tagar. Mar says, look. The Mar says, no, Bito Mekach Lo Shchiach. Now, the Mar says that's not an advantage. Why is that not an advantage? Because bitu mekach lo shchiach, overcharging beyond the amount, right, that is allowed, is not so common. So the advantage of the chachamim of saying that they can do it for up to kedei shiyira l'tagar, and Rabbi Tarfon expanded it until kol hayom, right, so that advantage that you're speaking about is not necessarily a real advantage. Why? Because overcharging more than a sixth, or according to Rabbi Tarfon, will be more than a third, is unlikely or less likely. Because that scenario isn't very likely, if that scenario is not very likely, then the advantage of having a kedei shiyira versus kol hayom, or have it to be the advantage of being, right, kol hayom versus all forever, those aren't meaningful because those situations do not come up so often. So if that's the case, right, then the Gemara is now reversing its position and saying that even the Chachamim, even if the Chachamim say the Olam, right, they still could say Chazru. So now the Gemara says, lo, bito mekach lo shkiach, bito mekach lo shkiach. So now, let's look at the Rabbanan and Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon gave them an advantage because he expanded the window in which what's classified as Olam, which is from Shtut and Shlish, and the Chachamim said only a Shtut. Now, beyond that, the Chachamim, according to this, the way we're learning in the Gemara now, the Gemara rejects and says, the Olam, that the Chachamim believe after a sixth or above a sixth, you can reverse your position forever. And Rabbi Tarfon said, kol hayom, all day. So now Rabbi Tarfon gave them an advantage in two ways. One is he expanded what the Olam is, but he also gave them the advantage, right, that he quantified or he limited the amount of time that you can reverse it when it's bitul mekach from hayom, until the Olam. But there is one disadvantage. There is one disadvantage that Rabbi Tarfon did for them, and that is Ona itself. Ona itself, according to Chachamim, is Kedei Shiyira L'Tagar. Shtut, according to Chachamim, is Kedei Shiyira L'Tagar. On the other hand, for Rabbi Tarfon, Shtut becomes part of Ona, and it's Kol Hayom, is expanded. It's an expanded opportunity. So until this point, the Gemara's assumption was that they would be willing to forfeit that small amount, shtut, that one little point where it's exactly a shtut, they'd be willing to go to Rabbi Tarfon, which is kol hayom, versus the chachamim who say kedei shiyira l'tagar, because they gained so much. They gained so much because first of all, he expanded the window of what's called una, and number two is that he limited the amount of time they can reverse it in bitul mekach. They were the olam, and now he's saying hayom. So that, based on that, the Gemara says that would be a huge advantage, and therefore that cannot be the explanation of the position of the Chachamim. It must be that the position of the Chachamim is only Kedei Shiyira L'Tagar when it's above Mekach, and therefore there's a balance between Rabbi Tarfon's advantage and the Chachamim. Rabbi Tarfon gave the advantage that he expanded the window that's called Na, not called Bitul Mekach, but the Chachamim in Bitul Mekach, they had a narrower window in which the reversal could be done, and that's why they wanted to be Chozer. Now Gemara says, no. Even if you say the Chachamim believe the Olam, they believe that forever you can reverse it, and Rabbi Tarfon was mitzamtzim. So now Rabbi Tarfon gave them an advantage, number one, in expanding the window that's classified as Olam, not Bitul Mekach. And number two, he gave them the advantage that he limited the amount of time they can reverse it when it is above the Olam. When it's above the Olam, Chachamim says Olam, he says Ayom. Chachamim say, but they did give him one disadvantage. The one disadvantage is exactly a shtut. Exactly a shtut, the Chachamim believe that you have Kedei Shiyira L'Tagar. As Rabbi Tarfon believes that exactly a shtut, that it is Kol Hayom, so they have that disadvantage. But we say, wait, they got so much more from Rabbi Tarfon that they want to keep it. Where it says, no, that's not true. Why? Because Bitul Mekach, charging above a sixth, is a very unlikely scenario. It's something that does not happen very frequently. And therefore, the disadvantage caused by Rabbi Tarfon expanding to the full day by a sixth was much more detrimental to them than the advantage he gave them about above a sixth or expanding the window of Onah. Because, again, we saw this earlier, the Gemara said something similar to this, Rashi mentioned this, that Bittul Mekach is above a shtut, charging above a shtut is not a very common thing. If it's not a common thing, then all the advantages that Rabbi Tarfon gave them by expanding the window above a sixth and saying that Bittul Mekach is only for a yom and not forever, those advantages are very minute. They're not worthwhile to trade off versus at a shtut itself. At a shtut itself, you know, now when they sell at a shtut, they, according to Chachamim, they should have a tagar, 2-3 hours, it's done. According to Rabbi Tarfon, it's all day. He said, no thanks, Rabbi Tarfon. We'd rather have it be a shtut ending right now or quickly, and then have, right, then have the other trade-off, which is to say that, oh, if I was super overcharged, then it's all day that he can risk, and after that, it's sealed, the deal is sealed, because that is an uncommon, unlikely scenario. I'd rather have the advantage in what's the more common or likely scenario, which is the overcharging of shtut. Over there, the chachamim give me an advantage, which is the deal is locked, it's considered mechila after a couple hours, after today's year of the tagar, versus kol hayom, if you, Rabbi Tarfon, therefore we don't, no thanks, Rabbi Tarfon, we're going to go back to the psak of the chachamim. So at this point, the Gemara has no conclusion about what the position of the chachamim is, both in the case of less than a shtut. Less than a shtut, is it nechila, the outer, or is it kadesh shireh the tagar? Again, the Gemara tried to prove from Rabbi Tarfon's case of tagar lut one way, right? And then the Gemara in the end says, no, it doesn't have to be that way. I can explain the case even the other way. And the same thing with the case of above a shtut, right? Above a shtut, we said that the Gemara questioned whether above a shtut is, right, bitul mekach is the olam, or only kadesh shireh the tagar. It's only a matter of time, maybe the tagar or the olam. The Gemara, again, leaned in favor of saying it was kadesh shireh the tagar. And the Gemara says, no, that in the end, we could explain the Mishnah of Rabbi Tarfon's case, even the olam. And the same thing with the first case. Even though the Mishnah with Rabbi Tarfon sounds better, it makes more sense if you say kadesh shireh the tagar, right, and not mechila the outer. Nevertheless, the Gemara says, I could explain it as being mechila the outer, but I just have to reinterpret what Rabbi Tarfon's view is of between a shtut and a shlish, that it's not the same as under a shtut of chachamim, but rather it's like the onah of the chachamim. Okay, we'll stop here. We read the rest of the Gemara of Rava, Milchus of Rava. So now that'll be the conclusion of the Gemara. Gemara leaves all this idea of yadol al-yonah behind and gives fixed categories of above a sixth, and below a sixth. And that's what we read earlier with Rava in the Gemara. Okay, we'll stop here.